We're going to look this morning primarily at a passage in Luke and a passage in 1 Samuel. So if you have a Bible, you'll want to look those up with me, please. Luke chapter 2, please. Luke chapter 2. We're going to begin reading in verse 21. Okay? I'm glad you're here this morning. We have several mothers that are expecting soon. Let's see. Charlena, where did you go? Oh, she went downstairs with the kids to teach, her and her husband. I think she's due in June 15th and not a day too late. And then I believe there's another young lady over here. How many weeks do you all have, Joanna? Joanne? You're 27 weeks along, so I'm going to do something a little differently this morning. I'm going to actually speak on the subject of what we're going to do. I don't know if this will be interesting, but I want you to know why we do what we do when we do a baby dedication. Okay? Just that simple. What is the point of baby dedication? And I'm going to ask, if you come from a Catholic background, this is not abusing Catholics, but it's important that you are able to understand that this is not what Catholics do when they baptize babies. So we're going to discuss that, just that part, just in passing. If you would look with me to Luke chapter 2, verse 21. Let's stand, please. Because the reason I bring that up, I'm afraid that maybe some people come to a church like this and think, oh, that's the Baptist way of doing what Catholics do. Actually, this has nothing to do with any of that. A baby dedication has roots in the Old Testament, as you will see this morning. And it was really what the Old Testament saints did. They brought the baby to the temple, and there were three stages of this. Now, some of those things aren't done anymore because we're no longer Israel. We're the church age. We're churches scattered throughout every nation. But so we're going to talk about this issue. Verse 21 of Luke chapter 2. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel, or by the angel, before he was conceived in the womb. So the very first, by the way, in the ancient Israel, not in the church age, but in Israel, the first step of a male child was after 8 days the child was circumcised. And then there was this period of time, symbolically the mother went through a purification. So the second stage was purification of the mother, and then they came to the temple for the third stage, which is what we use as this example, called the presentation of the child. When they came to the temple to present the child to the Lord and to the people, this is kind of where we draw the roots of what we call baby dedication. So let's keep reading. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses was accomplished, they brought him, Jesus, to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. So those are the three activities found in Exodus, Numbers, and Leviticus that happened in the Old Testament. A young boy was circumcised. Of course, you had to be part of the Jewish nation. Today, that's not as significant. It's not important. But it was for a Jewish believer. And then there was the purification of the mother. She also brought some sacrifices, which, of course, all those pointed to Christ, which is the ultimate sacrifice. And then they presented this child publicly to the Lord and before the Lord in the temple. Verse 23. As it is written in the law, every male that openeth a womb shall be called holy, meaning set apart, dedicated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. So you have the Old Testament roots, circumcision, which now that speaks in the New Testament age of a person being circumcised of heart or being saved when they believe and trust Christ. Then there was the formal purification of the wife and the giving of a sacrifice and the presentation of the child at the temple. Now, if you look at 1 Samuel, please, 1 Samuel, way back in the Old Testament. I don't want just to be reading this somewhat academically. I want to show you one of those beautiful examples of this. 1 Samuel 1, please. 1 Samuel 1. It's one of my favorite texts in the Old Testament about children. I'm just going to hit you with a story. The story is real simple. Mom couldn't have children. In America, if a mother can't have a child, it bothers her, probably, if she wants children. She could probably go to a specialist and do all kinds of things, and maybe they could have a child. And if they can't have a child that way, they could adopt. They could do a lot of things. In the ancient world, there was no technology, so this was a huge thing if you didn't have a child. Hannah could not have a child. Well, Hannah went to the temple, begged God for a child. Eli's looking at her praying. She's not praying out loud. She's praying, her mouth's moving, but there's no words. He thinks she's drunk. And she says, I'm not drunk. And she says, I came here to ask God for a child. So we're going to pick up exactly where that happens. If you look at verse, let's see, what verse do I want to begin? Let's look at verse 19. And they rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah, that's the husband, knew Hannah, his wife. New is euphemism. You know, it's a nice way of saying they were intimate, which is another euphemism. And the Lord remembered her. I love it. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son and called his name Samuel. El is the shortened word for, you know, that's the shortened name of God, Elohim or El. Samuel means something like what it says here, heard of God, because I have asked him of the Lord. So they named his name a name that always reminded them, we ask God for this son. So every time they called Samuel, they could call to remembrance that God answered their prayer. Verse 21, and the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow, but Hannah went not up. And there are some reasons. Verse 24, and when she had weaned him, meaning weaned Samuel, she took him up with her with three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle or a skin of wine and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. And they slew a bullock, one of these bulls, and brought the child to Eli and said, this is that presentation part, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I ask of him. Therefore also I have lent him, this child, to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he, Samuel, worshiped the Lord there. We again have one of those historical situations where a child is presented to the Lord and what happens on this presentation day. I'm going to speak this morning on dedication day. Father, thank you for this lovely time, this special occasion. Thank you for Brian and Linda and for their lovely son, Braden. We thank you for them as a couple. It's exciting to see their love for each other and their love for their son. And we desire, Lord, today to be a blessing to them, and especially to this young Brian, Braden, and in his future, and for the families and friends that have gathered here, and for the church family. May we all walk away understanding what we're trying to accomplish on this day, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. This is an odd year. Normally, we have one baby dedication day a year, which is Mother's Day. So before Mother's Day, I started talking to the mothers that had children, and all of them started saying, I won't be here this week, I won't be here this week, I can't get my family here on Mother's Day, so what can we do? And I said, well, what day would you like? And Linda asked me if it was all right if we did it on this day, and of course, Brian, I'm not married to her, but I learned something long ago, 37 years ago, when you're married and your wife asks you something, the operative words are, yes, dear. Brian, do you understand those two words? And they're the same in any language, really. Yes, dear. So I said to Linda, of course, we would love to dedicate your handsome son on this day. At the end of June, we'll do this also again. So what I want to do this morning is I want to ask two questions. Number one, what is a baby dedication day? The whole sermon is going to answer that question. What is a baby dedication day? So when you leave here, I really want you to be able to tell me what a baby dedication day is. Number two, and I will just answer this quickly, why do we do this? The second question I'm going to answer quickly. This day, and why we do it, is not directly commanded in Scripture. It's something we draw from Old Testament roots, as we've already seen. The Old Testament saints, before the church age, at the temple, would bring their children. They had a certain process. The law said things about that process. If it was a young male, the young male had to be circumcised in order to be part of the nation. That was the outward symbol that you were Jewish, a Jewish, and going to be a Jewish believer. The mother then had to go through a purification process. Then she would come to the temple with the family and maybe friends and others, and they would bring the child. They would offer a sacrifice. Of course, sacrifices have been done away with in the ultimate sacrifice, which is Christ. We don't sacrifice in that way now, but they did it pointing to Christ. They brought the sacrifices, and then they took the child to one of the priests, or the high priest maybe, and they presented the child to the Lord and to the people that were present. Now, may I say this? This is not the Baptist substitute for infant baptism. Infant baptism comes from very specific roots, and I'm not going to spend time, I'm just going to state this. It comes from this. If a child is born into this world, that child is born with a sin nature. And by the way, we as Baptists believe that. Linda, I love your son, but you will not have to teach him to do wrong. Right now, he's perfect. But in about 2 years old or 3 years old, believe it or not, he'll lie to you. My daughter, which is perfect now, when she was about 2 or 3 years old, she had an affinity for butter. Why butter? I have no idea. She would get into the butter, get it in her mouth and all over her face. And if you ask her, Amy, have you been into the butter? It's like it's all over your face. Now hear me, friend. Why? Because children are born with a sin nature inclined to sin. The Roman Catholic Church and some other groups think this. You baptize a baby, but they call it that. They sprinkle some water on the baby, which takes away the original sin. And maybe does some other things. We're not doing that this morning. Hear me carefully. If a person is born into this world who is not old enough or able to believe, we as Baptists believe this, that child, if the child dies, or if the person that's an adult that's not capable of believing dies, that person is saved. Listen, not because God doesn't look at their sin, not because God thinks they're innocent. We think they're saved for the exact same reason that I would be saved, because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross and by means of the sovereign work of the Spirit that can work whenever, however, and wherever He wills and saves a child that's unable to do so on their own. So the child is still saved through Christ, not by sprinkling water, not by any hocus pocus that a Baptist pastor does. It's by and through Christ. And by the way, hear me, friend. I'm not going to preach on how to be saved this morning. But you're not saved because you show up here. You're not saved because you're baptized in a baptism. You're not saved like I was by being baptized in a river. You are saved because of Christ alone. That is your only hope. My hope is built on Jesus' blood and righteousness. That is my only hope. That is a child. So if a child was to die, and by the way, we have babies that die in America. You go out where I'm from, Southern Illinois, where my family has lived there since the early 1800s. Some of you saw some of the names. And you'll see the tombstone of Mom. And then, Jenny, there'll be these little tombstones. It was common for people to lose one, two, three, four babies in the 1800s to disease. You say, what happened to them? They weren't baptized. Folks, baptism is of believers by immersion after salvation. Baptism never saves you. Christ saves you. What Christ did on the cross is how we are saved, period. We're not going to talk about that anymore. Instead, we're going to ask and answer a different question. What exactly are we doing today? That is the question. What is Baby Dedication Day? Would you look back at 1 Samuel with me again, please, if you still have your Bibles there? We're going to highlight a few verses, and I'm going to tell you three very simple statements. If you cannot remember statements, then just focus on three words. I prefer the statement because the statement is more important than the word. But I'm going to give you three statements and tell you this is what baby dedication is. 1 Samuel 1:19, read with me again. I want you to know this comes from the scripture and not from our ideas. It says, and they, meaning Elkanah and Hannah, rose up in the morning early, worshiped before the Lord, returned, came to their house to Ramah, and Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, meaning he was intimate with her, and the Lord remembered her. Verse 20, wherefore it came to pass when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. The word Samuel means something like heard of God. I don't think they're here this morning, but Ed and Emmy are normally here. They're probably on vacation too. Every time, oh, they're back here. You're in the wrong place, Ed. Ed and Emmy, how long y'all been married, Ed? 20 years. She's put up with you for 20 years? Wow. And how long did you all want a child? You tried for a child for 13 years. The Lord never gave you children, correct? But they kept praying. At least Emmy prayed. I don't know if Ed prayed or not, but Emmy prayed. And by the way, I can remember when she got pregnant, because you have a hard time, you have difficulty carrying children, right, sister? For whatever reason. But I remember when their son was born and they named him God Heard. Heard of God, Samuel. That's exactly what happened here. Now let's keep reading. And by the way, when I see little Sam downstairs in the cafeteria and every day he wants to come up to me and do that weird thing with the fist. He goes droop and he goes boop. Whatever that means, he likes to do that. I always think back. I remember when you brought him home. And I remember when you named him Samuel. And I remember rejoicing then. I still rejoice because that boy is on earth because God heard somebody's prayers. We continue reading, would you? Look at verse 25. They then come back to the temple. Now, it's 3 years later or so. It says they slew a bullock, a bull or steer or whatever, and brought the child to Eli and said, my Lord. So she comes, and it's a very almost formal. As thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition which I ask of him. Number one, what are we doing here today? Number one, this is a day of public corporate recognition. If you can only remember one word, it's the word recognition. But I like this. We're not doing this, Brian and Linda, in your closet at home. If you ask me to come to your house and have a baby dedication, by the way, I love you guys, you know that, I would not do it. Because baby dedication is a public, corporate recognition. It's not just what you do, it's what we do in public. You say, recognition of what? Where do you reckon that baby came from? Well, you said, well, Pastor, I know the biology. Well, I'm sorry to tell you, so do I. I probably know it more than most of you. I at least have an undergrad in that kind of a field. You know, I'm not the smartest guy in that field. I have a lot of degrees, but my first one was in medical technology. I can even talk to you about the Krebs cycle. Who? But folks, why is it there's a lot of folks that don't have babies that want them? We believe behind everything stands a sovereign God. And today, One of the things we want to do is we want to publicly, meaning in public, corporately, as a church, have a time of recognition that this handsome guy named Braden is God's gift to this couple, to the broader family and friends, and to our church. It's a time of recognition. So the people in the Old Testament brought their children not to a local church but to the temple, and they presented that child to the Lord, and a big piece of that was saying, hey, Eli, you remember I was that woman that was right here praying for this child? I prayed. Here he is, Samuel. It is a day of public, corporate recognition. It's a wonderful day when God gives us a child. God gave us two children. We wanted more, but after we had the two, we realized we could only handle two. March 31st, 1984, John was born. June the 10th, 1987, Amy was born. I cannot imagine my life without them. I got to be there for both births. And Brian, I did so much in both births, didn't you? I got to have a little thing of ice chips. And literally, that's, you say, now give your one. It's like, you got to be kidding me. I went through, what were those dumb classes? Lamaze classes for weeks, where you learn 27 different ways of blowing. You get in there and all that stuff goes right into the trash can. You forgot it all. All I'm doing is saying, are you okay? Here's some ice. Oh, my goodness. But I was there at least, kind of. I did tell her, breathe. I mean, you got to tell them to breathe. I don't know. You say, what did you do? Look stupid. You say, what else happened? I remember giving ice chips. I remember the breathing stuff. And I remember how much I hated that woman that taught us Lamaze or whatever it was. Because she said, it's really not painful. It's just a pressure. And I'd like to put a pressure on that woman's head about right now. What do you mean, just a pressure? But by the way, all of a sudden, John was born. They're cleaning him off. They let me cut the cord. I get to hold him. They put the little thing on his head, and they bundle him up. And by the way, it's great for me, but the greatest thing in the world, Brian, you experienced it, is seeing your wife's look on her face when she sees that baby. It's like, wow. Yes. Then there was Amy. I went there. I figured it was going to be one of those long labors again, so I went back into another room. It was late at night, and watched the bowls. I don't want to sit in there when she's just saying, well, I think I feel something. Okay, I'll watch the bowls. Hey, it was Michael Jordan days. Give me a break. So I'm watching the bulls, and all of a sudden the lady comes and says, your wife is in labor. And it's like, what? What? You're supposed to be like 24 hours, and it's this quick? No, by the way, when John had their latest baby, it was minutes. Actually, William, my second grandson, was born in their bed. Meaning, when she stood up to go into the ambulance, she said, the baby's coming. So John got to participate. He really got to participate. I remember when Amy was born, I got to cut the cord, and I don't know why. I think it was because it was Amy. Listen, I grew up around blood. I worked in a laboratory, gallons of blood. I started getting woozy. I thought, you say, and by the way, what do you do when you get woozy? You take a big, deep breath, and you breathe deeply and slowly. You say, why? Otherwise, you pass clean out. I had to practice some of that breathing that I learned in Lamaze class the first time. There's nothing like it. They're God's gifts. I got home that day on June 10th, 1987, and there was an earthquake in Chicago. And ever since then, Amy's been causing earthquakes in my life. By the way, friend, I'm going to read some verses. If you want to turn with me, you're welcome to. 1 Chronicles 29:14 says this of the Lord. David says, but who am I and what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. For we are strangers before thee and sojourners, as were all our fathers. Our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there's none abiding. Lord God, all this store that we have prepared to build thee an house for thy holy name, it cometh of thine hand, and is all thine own. 1 Timothy 6:17, Paul tells the believers through Timothy at Ephesus, he says, Timothy, charge them that are rich in this world, that's us, that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. 2 Corinthians 9:15 says, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift, the Lord Jesus. Acts 17:25, talking about God, Paul says this, neither is God worshipped with men's hands as though he needeth anything, seeing God giveth to all life and breath and all things. For in him we live and move and have our being, our existence. What's not to like about Linda and Brian? I met Linda before I met Brian. Is that right, Brian? When she came here, the first thing I noticed, what's the first thing you notice about your wife? She's got a smile this big. She's a beautiful smile, lovely lady. And she's telling me about this Brian guy, and she's saying good things about you. And I'm thinking, there is no guy that good. She's saying, you know, we're going to get married, and she's all excited. And she's constantly talking about Brian and how wonderful he is. And I was happy for her. I didn't believe Brian was that special, but I was happy for her. Finally, Brian shows up. I get to perform their wedding. And not long after, God gives them a son, a child. And I'm going to tell the family and friends, I understood why Linda bragged on Brian. When my wife married me, you know how cars, nobody wants to really drive a car from the 70s. You might like to look at them. They look cute. You know how they drive? You ever driven a car from about 1960 to 1970 around a corner? This is how they turn. And the cars float. They look cute until you get in the car and it's like, I don't want one of those things. You say, why? Because they're old. Not only that, you get a newer car, they're tight and they ride well and they turn well and they have lots of upgrades. How about this? I never owned a car until 1986 that had air conditioning. Today, I can't imagine a car without air conditioning. Can you? Fawn over here thinks that all cars have to have the heated seats. Front, middle, back. If there's one in the trunk, she wants that heated too. And she wants them on. In the summertime, Jim's got the air on, she's got the heated seat on. By the way, folks, that's called an upgrade. Now, I want to, by the way, some of you think I'm being goofy. Brian, now I figure out why Linda likes him. The day that baby was born, my first pictures of the baby after the hospital, I saw him in the pictures from the hospital. He's home, and the first pictures, I realized, Brian, here's me on the father scale, and here's Brian. He's about 10 upgrades. There's Brian changing diapers. He's loving his son. He's like doing all that goo-goo stuff. Then I thought, now I understand why Linda likes this guy. And this is a compliment. You'll never get a bigger one from me. He's a real father. Any male can pretty much have children. He's a man, and he's a Christian man, and he's a Christian father. And he's loving that son. I just can't wait till you get three or four more, Brian. I'll see Brian at home, and there'll be he'll have like a whole row of them here. You say, what are we doing today? It's a time of recognition. It's a time of recognition for one family, but for all of us, of the children God has given us. Christianity is about the great God who has given us everything. He gives us life, breath, and existence. He doesn't need stuff from us. We need everything from him. He gives us his son so that we can be saved and know Him and spend eternity with Him and His people. He gives us children. He gives us health. He gives us minds. He gives us abilities. I sometimes run into people that they're pretty impressed with themselves. I'm a smart guy. Pastor Clark, smart guy. Look at me. Until the moment God decides to take the mind away. I graduated summa cum something a couple different times. By the way, you say you think you're smart. I have a good mind. I wonder where I got it. Before I was born, there was a line, here's for dummies and here's for smart people. Well, I want to go to the smart people line. Are you kidding me? God gives you everything you have, friend. And this morning is a time of public, corporate, as a church, and family and friends, recognition of God's gift to this family. Just like the Old Testament saints came and presented their children, we're coming to present this child to the Lord and to God's people and to family and friends, and recognizing this child is God's gift. That's what we're doing. A time of recognition. I'm sure this child is going to be wonderful. He's got a great mom. He's got a great dad. Mom is sweet. I don't know if dad is sweet. I haven't figured that part out yet. I do know this. This kid's going to have lots of brains. Got a brilliant mother. I think Brian's pretty smart, too. You put that together, this kid's got a good head start. And you say, what does that mean? You can look to God and say, thanks be to God for the gifts you have given us. Today is a time, number one, of public corporate recognition. We are recognizing God has given us a child, specifically Braden. What else are we doing this morning? Look back at 1 Samuel 1, please, if you would. 1 Samuel 1. We're going to look at the Luke passage also. This is the second thing going on today, by the way. And friend, it's just what the text says. Chapter 1 of 1 Samuel, verse 27 and 28. Would you look there with me? When Hannah comes to Eli, she says this, for this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition. That's the public corporate recognition. Verse 28 says, therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. Secondly, this is a day of public corporate dedication. So we not only recognize that a child comes from God, that's what Hannah did, that's what they did with Jesus. We'll look in a minute, John the Baptist the same. They would bring their child to the temple and publicly, for everybody to know, this child came from the Lord. And recognize that. It's also a time, in a real sense, where you dedicate the child. You present the child back. You give, how about this? We recognize that God has given us the child, and dedication is then giving the child back to the Lord. That's the idea. Samuel was given back to the Lord for God's purposes. Now, that's a hard thing to do. Now, I want all of you to look at me. I'm a pastor. You haven't grown up in these circles. One of the greatest Baptist ever in America was a guy named W.A. Criswell, pastored in Dallas, Texas from 1944 to almost 50 years. It might have been 50 years. It might have been over 50 years. When W.A. Criswell graduated from college, a man came to him and said, I will pay your way through law school and you can work at the largest firm in that part of the country. I'll hire you immediately, because Criswell was known to have a great mind. And Criswell said, God's called me to preach. Criswell's own mother said, please don't be a pastor. People starve pastors to death. But Criswell knew that was God's calling. Now, friend, I don't know what my mother's plans for me was. She's never told me. She's happy I'm a pastor. I think she's very proud that I'm a pastor. But you know, I don't know, but I do know this. When a child comes into your world, two things have to happen. You need to recognize they're from the Lord, and you need to secondly move forward to the dedication part where publicly and corporately you dedicate that child back to the Lord for his purposes. Samuel became a prophet. He became a priest. He became a judge. In all the Old Testament, he's one of the men that stand highest next to Moses because he did the same things Moses did. Prophet, priest, and judge. Only Jesus, obviously, humanly speaking even, prophet, priest, and king, is going to stand higher. He was an important guy. John the Baptist is dedicated in the temple. For what purpose? He becomes the forerunner of the Lord. The Lord Jesus, humanly speaking, he's obviously very God of very God and very man of very man's. There's a miraculous element to his birth, but when they're presented humanly speaking, he was presented back to the Lord. I don't know if his mom and dad knew all that was going to happen. They knew some things were going to happen that was going to give them great pain. But my friend, it's about dedicating a child back to the Lord. Give that child back to the Lord. Brian, Linda, this morning, we're going to ask you to dedicate this child to the Lord. We're going to ask you to dedicate yourselves to rear this child in church. We're going to ask you to dedicate yourself to rear this child in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We're going to ask you to dedicate yourself to do all that you can so this fine young son of yours grows up and comes to know the Lord and gets saved at a young age, follows the Lord in believer's baptism, because today is the beginning of something or the continuation. It's a time of public, corporate dedication. Brian, I'm going to speak. Friends, I'm glad you're here. I believe that men are responsible for the family, not women. I have never enjoyed families where mama's got to get the old man up all the time because the old man's sleeping on the couch. I grew up in a home where, now by the way, my mother's a wonderful woman. She still is. But my dad saw himself more than anything else as responsible for the family. So I'm going to speak to Brian. Brian, this morning's time of dedication is a dedication of you to do everything that you can under God to make sure this child follows the Lord. That might mean some sacrifices. This might not be your choice. My wife and I, when our children were born, before our children were born, this is our choice. We said our children will go to a Christian school. In America, that means you're going to be paying a lot of money. When we pastored in St. Louis, our church didn't have a Christian school. Another family in the church sent their kids to public school. And if you send your kids to public school, that's fine. Nobody's mad at you. I'm talking about us, Brian, and you secondarily. I talked to this family, and they said, we can't afford to send our children to the Christian school. And I looked at the husband and said, I can't either. But we choose not to go on vacation 3 times a year, not to have the newest, biggest, fastest. We choose the children before us. I would like to say that I'm a spiritual guy. I learned that from my dad and mom, who thought the children, mom and dad were here for the children. And may I say this, and my wife learned this from her mother. It was intuitive. You sacrifice for the kids. So, Brian, maybe you don't get to go on vacation for 4 times this year to Aruba. Aruba will be just fine. One day, those kids will be off on their own, succeeding at the highest level, just what God wants them to do, and you and Linda can go to Aruba then. Right now, God has given you, and by the way, I'm being real serious, God calls upon parents to sacrifice for the children. My children like my wife, and they tolerate me. But neither one of them will ever say we have it done way beyond, because we made sure they had what they needed. We made other choices. When I found out my son could sing a little bit, I never did anything, but my wife did. We spent a lot of money and a lot of time getting him voice lessons. We got Amy some voice lessons. We tried to get Amy piano lessons. That didn't work as well. We made sure that both of our children minimally graduated from their undergraduate from college debt-free. You think that's a sacrifice? Amy, of course, worked, and John worked down at, you know, at school, and then Amy went and finished her master's in education there, and John came here to Chicago. But we also had to do the unthinkable. And Brian, this is the hardest thing that you will do as a dad. Dedicating the child, especially in a public time, when you look at that handsome son of yours, and you say, I want this child to know the Lord, I want this child to be saved at a young age, I want this child to follow the Lord in believer's baptism, I want the child to follow the Lord, I want the child to have every opportunity for success that I can provide for this child and you and Linda can provide, and you do all those things. There's another piece of this that's tough. Dedication of the child to the Lord means this: Lord, I'm giving the child back to you for your purposes, not necessarily for yours. The worst thing that pastors ever do in America, I don't know about other countries, is pastors decide their sons are going to be a pastor. And most of them are complete failures because God makes those choices. When my son was born, I had all kinds of dreams for him. And he has gone way past in most areas what I ever thought he would do. What's weird is he likes things that I never dreamed he would like because those were God's choices. He tells me he likes administration. I'd rather shoot myself than administrate. That's the reason I have Pastor Kowalk. He does all the work, and I just sit around. My daughter, I knew she could teach at a very early age. I never knew she'd be my boss later on. May I say this? It can be scary. The Lord gives you guys how many ever children he gives you. And you look at the children and you say, I want this one to be a lawyer and this one to be a doctor and this one to do this. And you got all the things planned. And then this one comes to you and says, Dad, I don't like blood and you want me to be a doctor? You're giving your children back to the Lord and you're going to do all you can for them to become what God wants them to be. That's the dedication. So we're today recognizing the child is from the Lord, and in one sense, we're giving the child back to the Lord for his purposes. There's a third concept. First Samuel 1, verse 28, and then we're going to look at the New Testament. We have said this is a day of public, corporate recognition. The child is from the Lord. Dedication, the child is given back to the Lord for his purposes. And we're dedicating ourselves to give everything they can, you can, Brian and Linda, and family and friends, for the betterment of that child. The third concept, I say this, is a day of public corporate cooperation. There's something more going on. Actually, let's do this. Let's look at Luke chapter 2, would you please? Luke chapter 2. Let's look there real quick, please. I'm going to show you this in a different light. Luke chapter 2, please. We do not have time to read this. I'm going to do this quickly. There's a third thing that's going on. Have you ever asked yourself why we do this in public? Isn't it just about Braden? And the answer would be no. You say, well, what about it? It's just about mom and dad. It's their responsibility. And you're missing the point. We do this publicly and corporately because there's a third concept here. Not only do we, by the way, in the Old Testament, they brought the child to the Lord. That's the recognition part. Child comes from God. And they dedicated the child, or the child was holy to the Lord. But there's the third part. They did it at the temple where everybody was, family, friends, and all the worshipers. They did this publicly because it was a day also of public corporate cooperation. It's basically all of us are joining hands to do all we can as a church, and in many cases here, family and friends, to encourage, help, pray for this child. Brian, I don't know if you have any of these people. I've seen this many times. You have a person that's a third cousin. You don't hardly know them. For whatever reason, the third cousin didn't get to have children. The third cousin's on in years. And the third cousin hears about your child, and your child's going to go to college. And it's very common for somebody then to give money to help your child move forward. Why? Because it's bigger than just Brian and Linda. It's bigger than Brian, Linda, and Braden. It's the cooperation of a group of people. Let's look at this text. We're also going to look at Luke 1. Luke chapter 2, verse 24. Actually, verse 23. And as it is written in the law, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. Holy means set apart to God. So the child was dedicated to the Lord. Verse 25. When they brought the child, Jesus in this case, to the temple, it says in verse 25, oh, by the way, behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And then you have this wonderful testimony in what Simeon has to say, because it's more than just Mary and Joseph and the baby, or Mary, Joseph, the baby, and the priest. It's Mary, it's Joseph, it's Jesus, it's the priest that was there in the Old Testament, the pastors here, it's the Lord, and it's the congregation. Verse 36, and by the way, there was somebody else there, a woman named Anna. And she does some wonderful things. Same book, chapter 1 of Luke. Would you look there? Luke chapter 1 in verse 60. Folks, this is not done in a corner. We don't do this in private. Let's have a special dedication for your baby in your front living room. No, 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 no. This doesn't save the baby. This is a time really more about parents. It's more about the parents recognizing the child comes from God, the parents dedicating the child back to God, and the entire church cooperating. So it's a day of public, corporate cooperation that we're going to join hands together to encourage this child and be a blessing for this child. Chapter 1, verse 59. Now this is about John the Baptist. Came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child. Same thing, it's Old Testament. And they called him Zacharias after the name of his father. And his mother answered, said, not so. He shall be called John. They said to her, there is none of thy kindred that is called by this name. And they made signs to his father how he should be called. Now remember, the father couldn't speak till after this. And he asked for a writing table and wrote, saying, his name is John. And they marveled all, and his mouth was opened immediately, meaning the father, and his tongue loose, and he spake and praised God. And notice the ripple effect. And fear came on all that dwelt round about them. And all these sayings were noised abroad, spread abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all they that heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, what manner of child shall this be? It's a day of public, corporate recognition. This child is from God. It's a day of public, corporate dedication, giving the child back to God and dedicating yourself to be the parents that God called you to be. It is also a day, church, now I'm going to tell the church the good news. Some of you think you can do your own little thing and your kids will turn out well. Good luck on that one. Now I'm going to publicly say some things, Brian, and you'll know some of these people. This is the piece that white Americans miss. Hurrying home to their individual lives to watch TV and look at Facebook. Children need more than mom and dad. Brian, your children need a Mrs. Hall's mind in math. Maybe not your child, because they already have mom's mind in math. Take that back. They need a Mr. Hall's kindness and gentleness and generosity. My children didn't see that in me, but they saw that in him. Our children needed a Grandpa and Grandma Losi. They needed a Heidi and a Dietmar Wagenknecht. My children needed someone to take them on a missions trip. And that someone was Jim and Fawn Duncan that took them, the two of them, on a combined total of 5 different missions trips. 1, 2 to Canada, 1 to Jamaica, 1 to Venezuela, 1 to Slovakia. Look at me. Children need a church. Now you can sleep, and some of you are never awake. God bless your children, because my children didn't learn about Christianity just from this ugly guy. They learned a whole lot about Christianity from some of the good people in this church. And let me say this, I'm very thankful for those people. And I made sure my son got to know a Tim Durham that has some abilities that I never heard of. I made sure they hung around a Tim McGrail. Tim McGrail knows a whole bunch of different stuff. Not so much Debbie, but Tim. That's not true. They needed Pastor Kowak. Talk to my son about Mrs. Taylor and her influence in his life as a younger man. They needed to meet Dada and Pandak. They needed the people of this church. And may I say this, so does your children, Brian. Yes, I think you're a better father than I've ever been. I think you're the upgraded model. Your wife is beautiful, smart, sweet. She's got it all going on. But your children need all those influences and 10 times more. And they also need your family and friends. I look back at my life and I think, my goodness, I look back and I see all those people I grew up around. And it never dawned on me they all went to Baptist churches. I knew they did. I didn't realize I grew up around so many Christian people and how that influences in small little ways. And if I go back home where I'm from, there's so many people in these different Baptist churches. And it's like, well, of course, I had the privilege of many people coming out of Christian backgrounds, not all of them. And my friend, I needed that. Now, look at me, and we're almost done. You say, what are we doing today? Well, in the Old Testament, when a child was born, if the child was a male, 8 days later they were circumcised. Then the mother went through a purification process, if it was a girl or a boy. At the end of that process, they then came to the temple. They offered a sacrifice. We don't do that. Why? Christ, the one sacrificed, has been offered once and for all and forever for our sins. But they then presented that child to the Lord. What did they do when they presented that child? There was that recognition that the child came from God. There was that then dedication of the child back to God, and the dedication of the parents and the family and friends to work and provide and serve and do all they can for the child. And it was done publicly. It wasn't done in a corner. It was done where people were at. It was corporate, where the church could, in our day, the church can gather around. And Brian, Jim over here is not as young as he was when I came. He used to be very young. You were 49 when I came here. Just a kid. I still hate him. He looks the same as he did when I came here 20 years ago. His hair is a different color. Yeah, but he still fits in the same uniform. I could fit in the same uniform too if I sewed three of them together. It would fit fine. I want, Brian, your children to meet Jim and Cliffy. I wish they could have met Dietmar and Heidi. I wish they could have known Mr. Losey longer. Your kids, church, need a family. And this is the family. So today we're going to pray for Braden. We're going to pray for you that some of you become a church and not an individual that does his or her own thing. That's not a church. That's what we're here to do today. Just exactly what the Old Testament saints did. Just exactly what many Christians have done for centuries. Not trying to save the kid. We're dedicating the child. We're recognizing the child is from the Lord. We're dedicating the child back to the Lord. And we're doing it with the people of God. That's what we're doing. Linda, do you have that handsome guy? Bring him up, please. Brian, you can come up here.